Hello, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with a very special episode of DC and Helwani. As you know, it's UFC 252 Fight Week. Our guy, Daniel Cormier, fighting this Saturday for the UFC Heavyweight Championship. This is nuts. He'll join us, as always, but then later on, he'll tag in his old pal, Funky Ben Askren himself, and he'll join me to talk about the news and notes of this past week in mixed martial arts. So we got a lot to discuss with both men. Don't go anywhere, but I'm excited about 252 this weekend. You know how excited I am that the NBA is back as well. Did you see the performances this past weekend? Damian Lillard putting up 51, all the drama between him and the Clippers. How about the Toronto Raptors doing their thing? And how about Luka Doncic with those crazy triple doubles? All in on the NBA right now and always, as you know. And that's why I can't wait to check out the newest edition of the Woj Pod, starring my man, Adrian Wojnarowski. This week, he's joined by Phoenix Suns center DeAndre Ayton. Speaking of Luka Doncic, Ayton talks about the team's impressive winning streak, how they're killing it in the bubble, and how they might even make the playoffs when no one thought they would. It's a great conversation. It's the Woj Pod. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, time for today's program, and as always, listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Monday, August 10, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. And as always, we are presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Root for those with a fighting spirit. That's DC Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. And DC, I don't know if you know this, but you're fighting this weekend. You're up next. You're fighting for the heavyweight championship. And if I could be honest, I'm getting all emotional here. This is almost surreal. Months ago, we started this journey, and now here you are just days away from fighting in your final fight ever against Stipe Miocic for the heavyweight championship of the world. I don't know what to make of all of this.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think that when we started this thing, you know, I was running. I had this video of me running. And it's, you've seen it. It's an awful video. And I could barely breathe with no idea if I was even going to get the fight. And now fast forward, you know, 4 months and the fight's right upon us. So it's very crazy to see and think how fast time flies.
Each and every Monday, you know, allow me to say this. Like, I think you have helped me. I think we have helped others. Maybe I helped you as well. Like, there were some dark times at the beginning of all of this, right? I mean, for like 4 months, I didn't leave my house and I'm still in my house and talking to you every week. And I just, it's hard for me. It's a weird thing because like for a minute there, you stopped being Daniel Cormier, the champion, the fighter, the commentator, and you were just like my co-host. And now to see everyone talking about you this week, to see you on the promos, to see the countdown, to see you doing the interview with Felder, it's like, oh my gosh, Daniel Cormier is an actual fighter and he's going to be main eventing a pay-per-view on Saturday. Yeah. And is trying, like, the whole thing is actually kind of surreal for me. But enough about me because I don't want to make this all about me.
It's kind of crazy though, like, right? No, but it makes sense, right? Because then you play different roles, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you play different roles. And outside of this training camp or, you know, training camp pass, I'm just me. And that's, I think, that's who people have gotten to know a little bit better over the course of the last 4.5 months doing the show, is that we've been able to not only people get to know me better. I think they've kind of, you know, you've been on this for how long? 10 years now you've been doing these shows? 11 years, right? I think people see a different side of you now because now we're just kind of like our friendship while we talk about fights allowed people to get to know us a little bit different. And I think that that's what's happened. But ultimately, this is what I do. You know, when it's time to become a soldier, I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier that goes to war. And that's what I'm excited to do on Saturday.
Okay, so bring us up to speed from when we said goodbye on Monday till now. How was the last week, the trip to Vegas? How are we feeling? How are we doing?
You know, last week was a tough week, honestly, if I'm being completely transparent with everyone. You know, the sparring was okay early in the week. Everything was okay early in the week. But as the week went on, I could feel that it had been a long one, you know, and I can sense that I needed to peel back a little bit. And that's what fight week is. You know, it's you kind of just recovering, resetting, and getting ready to go fight because the work's done. But I was so intent on being prepared, right, because I'm so aware of what cost me last time that I tried to do so much to ensure that it didn't happen again. And you can feel when it gets long, right, in 16 weeks of things, and not only 16 weeks of just running and just trying to get yourself started, 16 weeks of actual work, you know, and 12 weeks of training camp was difficult, you know. So by the end of the week, yeah, I was feeling pretty tired, fatigued, and I could feel that my mind was set on the fight. I was starting to go to the fight, and when that starts to happen, you realize that the work's done, and now you got to start to peel back a little bit. And I'm not a guy that peels back easily, so I had some fights with my coaches during the last week, but we got through it. It wasn't the best, but we got through it.
I saw that photo of you, Luke, and Kane together again. It's been a while since we've seen you three. What was it like to have those two guys there with you for the final week?
You know, it was great, you know, because we would always call ourselves the three kings of AKA. You remember that? We were the three kings of AKA because we all had belts. 2015, at one point in that year, all three of us were champions. And to see those guys that were so vital to my career be back in the room with me, training, making the sacrifices, and taking the risk, right, of getting out of the house to come and make sure that I had what I needed for training was great. And Kane's been here the whole time, right? Kane was there the whole camp. Luke came back up to San Jose for 2 weeks. It wasn't just 1 week. He was there for 2 weeks to check in and make sure everything I was doing was the right way and give me whatever work he could. And it was great, man. You know, it was, as you start to round third, like you always said, you start to kind of closing on the end of a chapter. It's good to be surrounded by the people that were there at the very beginning. There was a picture that floated around the internet last week of me, Kane, Luke, and Habib, and we were just children. And now, you know, I said that to Kane and Luke. I was like, we look so old now, you know, compared to those pictures from before. You know, we all look just so different. Even Habib, we all look so different. But we're all just kind of on our way. And for them to come back in, and it has been great. And then also, you know, I get messages every day. I talk to Habib. I got one this morning, you know, because of the time difference. Like, you know, we were three kings. We're four now because Habib is definitely one of the guys like that. But you know, it was great to have my brothers. It really was. Very special.
And he's rocking that silver beard, huh?
I love it. I think Kane looks great. Like, yeah. I think. Look at mine, man. Mine's going. It's all getting gray. But Kane started to get gray back 4 years ago. And now it's just, I think he's so comfortable with himself. And get in front of him, man. He's still as bad as he's ever been. And he can push you. But that's also part of the reason why last week was tough for me. Because as you get through a training camp and you're at the end, I put the toughest guys in front of me that I can find, right? I don't want to just have guys in front of me that I can beat on and I can feel confident with, you know? I want tough guys. I want Kane in front of me. I want, like, Corey Anderson in front of me. I want tough guys in front of me to really push me. And that also makes those weeks tough.
What kind of things is Habib sending you, like, this morning? Like, what is he sending you?
Just a lot was, like, you know, a lot of it is, how are you? You know, how you doing? How you feeling, champ? Please do this. I watched the fight again. You know, like, essentially doing the things that I do, you know, when he's getting ready to fight. And just like, I watched it again, champ. And you can do this. You can do X, Y, Z. And then today, and some joking too. You know, Habib's a funny guy, man. Like, he was watching a countdown show this morning. And he was watching it. And we always talk about the food. Like, because he always tells me halal meat is the best meat. Because I always go, like, I'm not eating it because I, you know, I don't know what it is. It's just the way they kill the meat, I guess, or something. But
right.
I'm like, don't give me no halal meat. You know, Khabib and I have a great relationship. And he was like, brother, I took a picture of this meat that Ron is eating. And what is this, brother? It's not halal. How can this guy do this, brother? It's like, he's funny, man. He tried to keep me loose and also just checking on the fight. He's, you know, congratulations on the baby. Like, dude, he's a good dude, man. He's a really, really good dude. He just cares. You know, you're watching a guy that when you got to AKA, they were at the top and you were just kind of beginning. And now you guys are all at the same level if you haven't exceeded that. But you're watching this guy that took an investment in you early go out and try to do something special on the way out.
By the way, I'll admit it's been a minute since I watched the Countdown show, but I watched it last night. You made the cut.
Well, yeah, we did.
Well, you made the cut. It was a bit of a, you know, a zoomed in cut, if you know what I'm saying. The day they were filming made the cut, but you know, I got in, dog.
It was close. I fought for you.
You did.
Now the reality is that's probably gonna be about as close as you'll get for a long time. That is probably the closest you're gonna get for a while. But I fought for you. It didn't work though.
Listen, after the fight, you go to the back. You know, unfortunately, you know, not gonna be there. It sucks. And I know you're torn up about this. It's a very sore subject. But when you do that post-fight interview with Rogan, you're going to give a shot. Like, will you do something? Will you do like a this? Will you do like a sign? Maybe you give a plug to the show. Like, what is the plan? What are we thinking?
Honestly, man, I haven't even thought about that. You know, okay. Like, I've been asked that, like, about, like, what happens? You know, do you take your gloves off in the octagon? Do you do this, and the other? I said, you know, I want to live in the moment. Like, I want to live in this moment to prepare for this fight. I don't want to think about what's after, you know, like, I don't want to, you know, go into the after fight deals, you know, like, I'm not doing that this time. Like, I'm just living in this moment. I've been trying to not look and think about what happens after I get the belt back. Like, I just want to get this one. Like, this one I need to get. I want to win this fight so bad. And I just don't understand and don't think about what's next. You know, it's hard. But, yeah, you know, I'll probably have some fun out there, but I don't know exactly what that's going to entail.
I was just wondering, like, the shout-out that you were going to give me if you're going to say something about me, you know, the show. Just,
yeah,
like,
I don't know about it. I don't know.
Sounds like you're not, but anyway. In the Countdown show, Rosendo said the last time going into the last fight, it was, you know, so much going on. You had so much, you're the wrestling team, you're the, all that stuff. This time, can you feel a difference? Like, is it fair to say this training camp was drastically different than the last one?
Yes, it was much different. It was different in the sense that this is the first time I've had a training camp like this in years, where I had nothing outside. I didn't have outside circumstances to think about, you know, like, I was wrestling coaching. I had a lot of media appearances. I was still doing stuff on television. Like, I did a lot of things going into the fight that I probably should have cut back on. And, you know, the pandemic has made me take a better approach to what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm at home. I'm training. Everything's been focused on the fight. And it's allowed for me to prepare better. I thought Rosendo, you know, I saw a couple of the clips, and he did a great job of explaining things, because he's as close to me as anybody is, you know, and the frustration that he felt was felt by everybody, by Javier, by Bob, by Leandro, by Rudy, by Chris, everybody felt the same. Like, you're spreading yourself too thin. You need to go and get ready for this fight. You're fighting for the heavyweight championship of the world, but I'm hard headed. You know, I would leave AKA at 2:15, be home by 2:45. I'd lay on the couch till 3:15, 3:20, then I'll drive to wrestling practice. And I'd be there till 6:30, 7 o'clock, time to go and do my cardio. So it was just too much. And as much as I love the sport, for this to be my final fight, I needed to commit myself to it in the right way. And you definitely can feel that.
Do you think you'll get nervous this week? Do you think you'll get nervous on Saturday?
I get nervous every time. I get nervous every single time I fight. You know, I get nervous. I get nervous. I get a tad bit scared. I think if you don't have that, you're not ready to go. But I think the nerves are competitive. I think that they're not me being fearful of anybody. You know, I'm not afraid of anybody. But the competitive nerves get me a little bit at times, and it's good, though. Because when they don't come, I don't feel confident going into the fight. I need them.
Hmm. Do you feel like he's going to fight upset? He seems mad, right? Like he said, they talk about the fluke and how he doesn't like you now and all this stuff. Are you counting on the fact that he's going to fight emotionally, that he's going to fight mad?
I don't think he's going to fight mad. I think he's going to just fight. You know, I think he's going to fight. I think he's got great coaches, and I think that they can reel him in. I think he's a great fighter. I think he's very tough. I think he's very durable. I think he's got great skill. I don't believe he's going to fight mad. I do believe that the mentality of the fight is a little bit skewed, because if there's saying the first fight was a fluke and the last fight just showed that he's so much better, I think it's a false sense of, like, reality. You know, it wasn't a fight where it was so easy and he dominated me from start to finish. You know, like, I don't know. I kind of like that, though. I kind of like the idea that it is, in their minds, an easier fight. And it is a fight that he's supposed to win. And it's just going to be this, 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 and this. You know, it's like, I kind of enjoy that they overlook me, because that's good. It's motivation. I don't know how you overlook a guy that beat you before, but I'm not looking past Stipe Miocic. I'm not going to disrespect him in any way in terms of the fight, because last time I felt like I did, and it cost me. But, yeah, I mean, I'm happy that they feel like that. I really am.
This is so rare, not only in fighting, but also in sports as well. Very, very rarely do we know, going into a match, going into a fight, going into a game, that this is the end for a particular athlete, right? It's so rare. Like, sometimes, like, even with Jordan against the Jazz, there were the rumors, but we didn't know that it was going to be the end, and eventually it wasn't the end. But you know what I'm saying? John Elway, rumors, this and that, Lennox Lewis, but with you, like, you have said unequivocally, this is it. And I'm just wondering, when did you, like, to concoct a plan like this, to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world in your final fight, And if it all goes well for you on Saturday, like, that's just the stuff that every fighter dreams of. Do you remember the first time you thought, if I can time, because you don't always get to time it this way. You could have a retirement fight and it's like a prelim fight or the first fight on the main card. When did you start thinking about, this would be the perfect way for me? Do you remember?
Well, I knew right away when, you know, after I lost last year, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And honestly, like, they called me right away, you know, hey, what do you think? And I was like, I don't know. And then right around November, you know, they were like, what do you want to do? And I was like, so the reality is, they called me and said something about maybe Stipe was going to fight Jones. And I was like, okay, then I'm done. You know, like, then, okay, then that's my answer. I'm done. You know, I'm not going to fight again, because I was only going to fight Miocic. And then, I don't, you know, they were like, okay, do you want to fight anyone else? And I was like, no. And then, they're like, okay, all right, I'll call you back. And then I got a call back, and it was like, well, okay, we'll try to make the Miocic fight for you. And I knew that was going to be it, because I just, in my mind and body, I just don't have that desire to fight anyone else, right? Like, I felt like I could get up and ready for this one, and I didn't know if I could do that for anybody else. So I was like, it'll be Miocic, and Miocic is the champion, and it worked out. So it was great, you know, but it wasn't like some great plan that I came up with, you know. I took some time to figure out what I was going to do. And when I made a decision, I told them what I was going to do, and they said, okay.
Any fear that you're putting too much pressure on yourself? I have to win this one, the retirement, all that stuff.
No, I have to just compete to the best of my ability. I have to fight like me. Like, that's it. Like, last fight, I didn't fight like me. Like, I fought crazy. I fought emotional. I did all these things that I shouldn't have done. If I fight like me, then I'll be fine. Like, I'm a better fighter than Stipe Miocic. You know, like, I really do believe that. And if I just give my best and I win, that's the best thing in the world. But if I don't win and I fight to my potential, I could be okay. I mean, it'll bother me. I'm the most competitive person in the world. It'll sit with me for the rest of my life and it'll burn at me. But I'll be okay with dealing with it, because I did everything the right way going into the fight. I just believe that I'm going to win the fight Saturday. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I have this feeling inside of my body that I'm going to win this fight. I'm going to win the fight going away.
Two last things. I know that you always like to have big groups, massive groups with you, right? The whole crew, the whole family. This time's a little different, right?
Yes, it is.
I don't think your kids are going to be there. I think your wife is staying home, right, because she's pregnant. Smart move. How do you feel about that, kind of being solo here?
You know, I feel like, you know, it was hard saying bye to my children and my wife on Sunday. That's tough. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all, but it's the reality of the situation, you know. But I'm surrounded by my army. You know, we're an army. We're going to go out and we're going to represent. Like, that's what we do. We're going to battle. I still got my guys. I got my friends. I got Bunch still. Sean Bunch never misses. I got DeRon Wynn, I got Kyle Crutchmer, Nick Piccinini, Tiago, all my coaches. Every one of my coaches is still here. My cousin Terry still coming on the weekend. Like, there's still going to be a lot of people. They're going to all get together and they're going to watch the fight. And then when I get done, we're all going to celebrate together. But, yeah, usually there's 60 people in at these fights for me. But that's not the world we live in today, you know. So that's different. but it's okay. It's just, this is my mission. You know, this is for me to go accomplish. That's what I'm going to do.
I'm not saying this is better, but I remember when I first met you at the Apple store on the phone, as you were preparing for your Strikeforce Challengers fight against Gary Frazier, you didn't have any of that, right? You were a guy sleeping on the floor at Bob Cook's house. So in a weird way, it's almost symbolic how it's come full circle. Alone now again, right?
Yeah. And you know, I'm not alone all week, but in that octagon, it's me and my coaches. And I would not want to be surrounded by four better guys. You know, Ro, Bob, Hav, and Leandro. Those are my guys. Bob and Hav have been there from day one. And it's exciting. In regards to the fight, like I was telling you earlier, I respect Stipe and those guys. But, you know, the fight was a good fight. But you got to remember, I won the vast majority of that fight. And he made an adjustment, Ariel. He made an adjustment that won him the fight. But the reality is, you only get to make that adjustment one time. You only get to do that once. You don't get to – that going to the body like that is not going to be available, because you have to go fix that as a competitor, and that's what I did. So that adjustment was great, but you only get to do that once. You don't get to go in and get beat up for 15 minutes again and then make that same adjustment. That happens one time, and that won't be available, because you go fix that, and that's what I've done. And when trying to fix that, I've seen some obvious opportunities for me also.
How much you expect to weigh Friday?
You know, I'm hoping to be like 240. I want to be a little bit heavier than last time. 240, 242, somewhere in that range. I'd like to be about that. I don't care what he weighs. I don't care if he's small. I just feel like I fight my best when I'm around there. I just feel like I was able to get stronger during the training camp, be able to do some things that I hadn't done before, because, you know, I wasn't 100% ready to fight.
Last thing, people have been on this journey with you from the beginning in this particular camp, you know, doing the show every week. Fans have kind of watched the evolution when you were, you know, a little bigger. Anything you want to say to the people who have been there from the beginning, from the journey, from the start, the whole thing?
You know, when I think about this whole thing, you know, I came here as a wrestler who didn't get to compete in the Olympics because he didn't cut his weight right. So there wasn't much value in Daniel Cormier's name coming from wrestling and mixed martial arts. But when I came to this sport, this whole new world, people embrace me, you know, as the portly guy that could fight and would just give it his all. And I appreciated every bit of that. To my managers, Bob and Dwayne, to my coaches, Javier, Rosendo, Leandro, Rudy, Chris, the old guys, Wheatsy, rest in peace, Dave Camarillo, Javi, rest in peace. Like all the guys, Teddy, that is now a cut man for the UFC, all the guys that have taken an interest in my career. I appreciate you guys, and I love you. To my teammates, you guys have given me every bit of yourselves. Kane and Luke, you stand out above anyone else because we did this thing together, and we went to the moon. You know, all three of us got to stand at the pinnacle of our sport, and I love you guys for taking me on the journey with you. Everybody else in my gym, thank you guys for loving and caring for me the way that you did. Joanna, I want to thank Joanna because she works so hard in the gym. I want to thank Cassandra for all the times and that she's put up with me. Heidi Siebert, who used to work in that role before. My family, who have been so supportive. I love them. The sacrifices that Selena and the kids have had to make are second to none. And then for the fans, I love you guys. Like, I know I can get a bit much at times. I can be annoying. I can be a bit clunky. There are a lot of things that come with Daniel Cormier, but the reality is I love each and every one of you, and I appreciate you guys and the support. From the cheers to the boos, it was worth it, man. It was warranted. I love it. I love every bit of it. And on Saturday night, I go and have one more of those shining moments. And Ariel, thank you for covering me from day one. You know, I've had to do interviews, and I've had to tell guys over and over how I appreciate all that they've done, because the media has done a great job of profiling me and putting a idea of me out there that at times I think is even too big. I think sometimes you guys make me look too good, you know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. The UFC, Dana White, Strikeforce, you know, everybody. Scott Coker, it's been tremendous. It's been a journey that I never could have imagined going on in. And I can't wait till Saturday to go out there and do it again.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There he is, the teammate from 2008, Funky Ben.
What's up, Ben?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just sitting here doing the show and about to pass it off to the man. Don't be too good now, Astrid. Don't be too good, Astrid. I might lose the show.
Hey, I was thinking back, Daniel. I don't think I've ever given you advice in my life. And, you know, as I thought back through your MMA career and my MMA career, I remember there was a one time in 2009, I don't think you had a fight. I don't think I'd fought for Bellator. And, you know, I stopped down to San Jose. And we're in the gym, and you said, hey, Ben, listen, you know, there's this fat guy. I'm going to let you go with him. So, I beat this dude up for a round. So, usually I beat him up. And then I was going with John Fitch, who at the time was very good. And, you know, I was standing up there striking. And I remember you standing up there, hey, Ben, dumbass, why aren't you taking him down? And I thought the point was to, you know, work on my striking. And he said, nah, just take him down, Ben. You're good at that. So I just want to remind you, you are world-class. You are a United States World Team member 6 years straight. You can take this man down anytime you want Saturday night, just in case you forgot.
Ben, I appreciate it, man. Listen, trust me, Ben, Big Ben. I do intend to go take him down much more because I'm just going to – the longer I can extend the wrestling sequences, the better off I'll be for it, right? If it's one shot, one sprawl, sure, he can defend that. But if it's a shot, a re-attack, if I'm putting him in scrambles, I will always win that over Stipe Miocic. So I intend on putting him in all those positions this weekend. You're the man, Ben. My man. Ariel, thank you guys, Ben. Enjoy the show. Have fun. The guys are great. Sean, Troy, Jake, I'll see you guys next week or – in a couple weeks, we'll figure it out. But I'll talk to you guys later. Because guess what? The champ makes the rules. The champ makes the rules, baby. And after Saturday, I'm the champ. I'll see you guys later. Bye.
See you, DC. Good luck to you. There he is, Daniel Cormier, who is fighting on Saturday. So now Ben Askren gets tagged in to help us out here. Ben, thank you for doing this.
You're in trouble, Errol. You've been coming at me on Twitter for a few weeks here. I get you face-to-face finally.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the good news is they asked me for, like, my top five choices. None of those people were available. So luckily you were available to fill in for Daniel. So I appreciate the time. Let's get into this past Saturday. You were tweeting a lot about Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you were even offering him like, I don't know, some advice, like
wrestling lessons.
Are you interested in training Derek Lewis? Cause it seemed like in the first round there at the end of that fight against Alexei Oleinik, eventually he won, of course, in the second, you weren't all that impressed with his grappling.
No, so I mean, like, I don't really have an interest in like train. I'm not going to go to Houston and train him full time or anything, right? But he's really, really good, and I literally think like I could help him with say like three or four positions, and he would be like three times as hard to take down. And listen, if they can't take him down at heavyweight, he's a problem for most people in that division.
Do you think that if he fights, say, a Curtis Blaydes, who afterwards he said he was somewhat interested in Blaydes, been asking to fight him, who is very good on the ground, this iteration of Derek Lewis can stand with him? Can hang with him? Or do you think he has a long way to go and he can hang with a guy like Curtis Blaydes?
I mean, Curtis Blaydes is very proficient with the takedowns, obviously, right? So he would need to definitely shore up some holes in the game that he gives up. You know, for example, like the head outside where the guys dump him. That happened a couple times against Oleinik. It was off the half guard sweep. Daniel used it against Derek Lewis when he fought him at MSG. So, you know, just a few positions like that. Like, I don't think he's already a really good athlete. He obviously knows how to fight. It wouldn't be that hard to just shore up a couple positions. And all of a sudden, he's way harder to take down.
that finishing sequence at the end of the first round, how much does that hurt? Like, he said he couldn't breathe. And yeah, and we all know how strong Olenek is, right?
Yes.
What he could do. How much do you think that hurt?
Well, I always thought that was fake news and there was no way you could choke someone out with that. And then I was training at Evolve in Singapore, and the coach at the time was Greco-Olympian Heath Sims, right, who was at Team Quest for a while. And he told me, well, just do this little adjustment. The adjustment is you slide a little bit lower. And, you know, wrestling, you're trying to pin the shoulder so you stay up higher. He said, slide a little lower and really lean back on it. I started tapping people out with it. Like, I thought it was fake news, but Heath convinced me to use it, and I started getting people in practice with it.
That moment after the fight when he's doing the post-fight interview and he says that he has to go to the bathroom. Honestly, see, I love Derek Lewis, but I think he planned that. I think he knew and did, and it was great. But I think he knew that he was on air. What do you think?
I'll go coin flip. I'll go 50-50 on that. Yeah, I think there's definitely a possibility that he knew and he was just being funny. He's funny because did you see that little Instagram video he did where he kept calling Alexi Alexis? He spit on his food. He kept saying, I got her food or something.
Yes, and then he spit on it. Supposedly it was his food. But not to take away from him, but I do think that that he knew that he was on air. It was still great. So
no, how's that taken away from him? I think that's a credit to him being crafty, because, you know, there's guys like you who maybe, you know, maybe you're smart enough to see behind the curtain, but there's a whole bunch of marks, right? Probably like 98% of them are marks who they think that this man really admitted he had to take a shit on air.
By the way, speaking of marks, I don't know why I just thought of this now, but you made me think of wrestling. What about the passing of Kamala Harris? Not Kamala Harris, James Harris.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. James Harris, Kamala. It is crazy that I never even put two and two together there. Kamala, the Ugandan giant, AKA James Harris. Boy, did I screw that one up. Did you hear that news?
It's close up. You know what? I watched a little bit of WWE and I kind of.
You weren't a big fan back in the day?
A little bit. Not huge. Not like you. I know Daniel's a big WWE fan. I was a little bit of a fan.
I'm shocked. I thought that you didn't watch like AW. I feel like that was like right up. No?
You're a little older than me.
How old are you?
36.
Well, I'm 38. Not that much.
Yeah, a couple years.
But you didn't watch like Hulk Hogan in the 80s? You didn't watch?
I watched a little bit. Like, I was like, you know, if it was on TV, I'd watch it, but I wasn't like going to events or I wasn't following all the stuff. And, you know, maybe if one of my friends got like, you know, a SummerSlam or something, I'd go watch it. But no, not hardcore.
Oh my gosh. I'm blown away. Just because you get the promotion side of things.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by that. Later in life, did you watch it?
Yeah. Well, so I actually became, I wouldn't say I watched it, but I became more of a fan of like, you know, you talk about it. Chael talks about it. And just, you know, they get the show business. I always talk about this in real wrestling, Errol. It's like, okay, listen, one of these is wrestling was wrestling. If you go like, say like 80 years back, 100 years back, wrestling was wrestling. They diverged because one group wanted to make it a little more exciting. And so even if you go to like the 1950s, 60s, it was like kind of real wrestling, but not really, a little bit scripted. And then it got more and more scripted as it goes on. Obviously, WWE is significantly more popular than real wrestling. And it's scripted results. It's fake, right? It's not real. And so, like, yes, there is a lot to be learned from them. And, you know, most real wrestling people kind of scoff at them. But I think there's a lot to be learned.
Mm. I still can't believe I said Kamala Harris. But you understand why I did, though, right? Because the guy's real name is James Harris.
His last name was Harris.
Yes. Oh, my God. I really botched that. I'm nervous in front of you. What can I say, Ben? All right. So Derek Lewis, he's in the picture. I think, you know, this is not something that we talked about with DC. I asked him about the pressure. I think there's almost zero pressure on Stipe's shoulders going into this fight, and I'll explain why with heavyweight division. Okay, DC's saying, you know, like, retire. He wants to retire. He wants to set off into the sunset with the belt and all that stuff.
Yes.
If Stipe loses, there's a very good chance they just do Francis versus Stipe for the vacant title. So he'll get another crack at the belt.
I was thinking, here's how I think the matchups go. Because I was thinking about this. I don't think they'd throw Stipe back in there when he lost. Because he's been kind of difficult to deal with. And you know how the UFC likes to deal with people who are difficult to deal with, right?
Yes.
So here's what I think they do. You ready for my stupid idea?
Okay.
If DC wins and says I'm out, which I think that's what's going to – that's probably my likelihood of happening. I think they go Derek Lewis and Ganu, although the first fight was bad, and Curtis Blaydes, Miocic. That's what I think they do. I would even be open to it being like a Grand Prix where the winner faces the winner for the title. But I think, you know, they want Ngannou. They'd probably prefer him to have the belt. So they put him with the guy he's most likely to beat.
Oh, you know what? I don't hate that. And then also, to your previous point, Curtis has been, you know, ruffling some feathers as of late as well.
Yeah.
So you put the two malcontents together for the for the top contender spot, and you put Derek and you know, I think a lot of people would scoff at the idea of Derek fighting Francis. I don't hate that idea. I think that that fight was just a weird anomaly. I think Francis was coming off the loss. He was a little bit, you know, gun shy. You have Derek, who had a bad back, who, you know, could hardly move that day. I think that second fight goes dramatically different than the first.
Yeah. And they're both guys, regardless of the fact that the first fight didn't go that well, you kind of just skip that, right, in the promotion.
Yeah.
They're both guys who you want to watch, kind of for different reasons, right? Like Derek Lewis, I want him to get the microphone because I know he's going to say something funny, whether he's planning it or not, to your point. I want to hear what the man's got to say. I'm going to listen to Derek Lewis. Francis Ngannou, you know, like the last fight, it was kind of some wild haymaker punches, but when he lands, it lands hard. So, yeah. Listen, I'm going to watch him because he can put people out like that.
All right, let's talk about the co-main now. Chris Weidman wins. He beats Omari Akhmedov. First win in 3 years. Had lost 5 of 6 going into this fight. Back down to 185. Can I just say something? I feel like Chris Weidman got a lot of crap after this fight. People say he wasn't impressive. Omari's a really tough guy, unbeaten in his last 6. And at the end of the day, is there anything wrong with just doing what you need to do to win? He won the first round, clearly lost the second, and then dominated the third. What's wrong with that? I don't understand why everyone's so down on Chris's performance.
Yeah, well, I would say I think it's because how good he has previously been. And they measure him versus that versus measuring him versus what he did. I will say, you know, I think after watching that fight, it's pretty obvious that Chris Weidman has lost a step from where he was. But I love the grittiness he showed to get it done. Listen, they were both exhausted after round two. It was 1-1. And one of those guys was going to figure out a way to get their hand raised. And Chris did it in dominant fashion in the third round. So, man, you know, I don't know how much longer he's got. I think it's clear that he's kind of lost a step from where he was at when he was the champion. But man, awesome, gritty performance. That was just, I'm definitely something to be proud of for Chris.
I think what added to the hate that he received afterwards, or maybe the criticism or whatever, is what he said. He said, I'm back. And people are like, well, no, you're not really back. Right. Do you think he can make a run at 185 right now?
Shoot. Well, you got the rankings up.
Well, what are those rankings? Let's be honest.
He's number 12. Yeah. The rankings.
No, actually he was unranked. He was unranked.
Chris was.
Yeah, Chris was. Yeah.
But Akhmedov was like 11, 11 or something like that. Yeah. Like I said, I think Chris has lost a step. I think it's going to be difficult for him to move up all that high. But I'm going to get the rankings up here. And but there's guys on that list that I think he could beat for sure. But is he going to go with Adesanya or Kelvin Gastelum?
Could he beat a Derek Brunson?
Yes, I think so.
I mean, so then he's still a player.
Yeah, I think he's still a player. Is he going to go get the title? I would love to see Chris win it again, but that's a tough sell for me right now.
Okay, so here's the thing. To me, if I were managing him, don't even care about the title. Forget about the title. Let's just get a whole bunch of other Omari Akhmedovs. Like, just get wins at this point. Let's get 3 in a row. Let's get 4 in a row. And that was the one thing I didn't like about what he said afterwards. Forget about the title picture. Forget about being a contender. Forget about all of that. Just go on a little run here. You know what I mean?
I agree.
At the end of just get your confidence back. Just get your mojo back. Now, the one name that I heard people keep talking about afterwards was Luke Rockhold. And then on Sunday night, Luke texts me essentially saying, I'm back, and essentially implying that he wants Weidman again. Now, let me ask you this. 2 things. A, what do you think of Luke coming back? He never officially retired, but he just told me late last year, very possible he's done. Didn't want to close the door, but it sounded like he had a foot out the door. And B, if you're down with him coming back, what do you think of the idea of him rematching Chris Weidman?
Okay, so that's a lot of questions there. Well, I never really figured he was done, right? He never really said, I'm retired. And I just felt like, you know, he's like my age-ish, but he still feels like he's young. I know he's got a lot of fight left in him. So I did think he was always going to come back. Now, what is Luke's last win at 185?
I believe it was the David Branch fight.
So it's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah.
So I think you can match those two up. I think it would provide some excitement. Obviously, they had the title fight. I'm in for that. All right. So I just brought up the rankings also at middleweight. You know, I think you could match Weidman with that, maybe an Edmund, right, who just had that bad loss. He's number 10.
Okay.
That's interesting, right? Because if Chris beats him,
you
know, you can start bumping him back up.
Yeah.
If Edmund wins, you can say now he's got a win over a former champion, right? That win can be valuable to both parties. And I think if you're their promoter, you're looking at like, you know, can I do a matchup where if one, no matter who wins, I'm going to be able to push someone up? And like that would be a good one for me.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of him fighting Rockhold right off the bat. I don't like that at all. I want to build those guys back up. You remember they were supposed to rematch at UFC 199, and I thought that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of a guy losing the title and then, and especially like be a knockout or whatever, and then getting that immediate rematch. I like the idea of building them back up. Obviously, this DC Stipe fight is a little different. It's his retirement fight. I get it. But to me, like I like the Edmund idea maybe a little more. Just build him back up. I just don't understand all the hate that Rockhold gets. Like I reported this earlier this
people
morning.
People hate Luke Rockhold.
Oh my God. Look at the comments. Why do people hate Luke Rockhold so much?
Listen, I you know what? I like probably in that trip I was talking about where I worked out with Daniel, I worked out with Luke also. So we developed a kind of a friendship long time ago. And I like the guy. I get along with him. People freaking hate Luke Rockhold. He comes off a little bit arrogant. I would say that for sure. You know, I think that's kind of part of his shtick or, you know, I don't think it's totally like he just doesn't know that's how he's coming off. I think he tries to attempt to be that way. Good looking guy. He's got a modeling thing going and he's kind of a dick also a little bit. So I think he's got that going for him. But I mean, it's definitely what you want as a fighter. You want people to love you. You want people to hate you. You want to be one or the other. You don't want people to not care.
Who wins? If they book that fight, let's say in December, Weidman or Rockhold?
Oh God, that's tough. Because we haven't seen Rockhold in a long time. Obviously, he bumped up to light heavyweight to fight Jan Błachowicz. Right. I'm going to go Rockhold in the close one.
Wow. Okay. By the way, what's going on with you and your trees in your backyard over there? What was that video?
I'm cutting them all down.
Why?
I'm building a disc golf course.
You're still building this? I feel like you've been talking about this for 2 years.
It's 23 holes. You don't know what I was doing with in the beginning. I mean, I probably cut down like 200 trees. You know, then you do the stump grinding. You know, I got some guys out there raking up right now. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You're like the Lorax guy. You ever see that movie?
No.
Where you kill all the trees?
I'm a movie guy. People make fun of me because I don't really watch too many movies.
Neither am I. But, the guy who kills all the trees. Like, you're like, why do you want to get rid of all these trees?
Well, I mostly leave the good ones. So, you know, if you want to know about my process, here's what I do. Okay. You know, I kind of look at how the land laid out. And then I say, okay, this is a really good tree. This is a good one. So, you know, I'm not going to cut the big ass trees down. I'm only going to cut the rinky dink ones. So I kind of like, you know, have the fairway going here. And then maybe if I need to cut out like one big tree, I'll do it. But I try to leave the nice big ones up.
Why 23 holes?
You know what? That's just how it turned out. And I thought I'm not going to be boxed in by the fact that you should have 18 holes, right? That's a typical round of golf or disc golf.
Yeah.
You know, I started laying it out and I'm like, there should be one more here. There should be one more there. I'm not going to be boxed in by society's norms of 18 holes.
No, I respect that. Now, like how often will you actually use this?
Well, I've probably been playing like 2 to 3 rounds a week, but
oh, wow.
A lot of it's, you know, a lot of it's because I've been building, right? So in my spare time, I go build it right now. So I do that too. And then secondly, I have, I only have 3 young kids. So I actually set up a kids course within the course and they play that with me so that, you know, we can get out as a family.
Who do you play with when you're doing the actual course?
There's some friends at disc golf.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't have you if I had you come over,
we'd
play
like.
The kids course.
Yeah. 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 I mean, wow. Hey, you want to come over and play some disc golf with me?
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine. You're just salty because you haven't left your apartment in 6 months.
Apartment? What do you think I am? I live in a house, Ben. I'm a grown man over here. Apartment.
I thought you live in New York City. Don't they all have apartments there?
So much you have to. You know, it'd be nice if you got to know me a little more, okay?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ben, we got to talk about a topic that you know a hell of a lot about.
Uh-oh, let's do it.
Bellator MMA.
Yeah, I watched on Friday night.
Okay, before we get to Friday night, let's talk about the big news. Corey Anderson, who was not a free agent, as I take my glasses off, who was not a free agent.
Is that a dig?
No, this wasn't a dig. I just, what do you mean?
I remember I retweeted you. I said, I didn't know he's a free agent because I misread your post. Like,
No. But it's okay. Yes. I did see that. I was going to reply to you and correct you, but I felt bad.
Dude, I told you I was doing a show.
That's what you get for like Bogarting him down here. And you kept the door open too.
Dude, get the keys and get out of here.
What? Who is this? Is that your son?
Freaking kids, right? I told you I'm doing a podcast. Like, leave me alone.
That's your son?
Yeah.
Wait, how old is your oldest son?
I got four kids.
Oh, but you just said you had three. Okay, well, how old is the oldest?
Oh, he's 20.
You have a 20-year-old son?
Yeah.
I thought that was Chase Hooper.
No, that was my kid.
You're joking, right?
No. I mean, I don't talk about it a lot, but yeah, I had a kid when I was in high school.
You're kidding.
No, I mean, I don't talk about it because he's obviously out of the house right now. So, you know, he's off at college, but he's home. Yeah.
You had a kid when you were in high school? How old were you?
16.
Is this awkward right now?
No, it's fine.
I mean, he just walked into our show, so I kind of feel like it's fair game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Errol, you got kids too. You know, sometimes they don't freaking listen. They're annoying, right?
But not when they're 20.
Listen, he's home from college. He's a pain in the butt. And, you know, he just walked in on the show. I guess I did leave the door open accidentally. I didn't lock it.
Is he a wrestler?
He wrestled a little bit.
What does he do?
He's in college.
Well, like, what does he want to do?
I think he wants to be an engineer.
Okay, so no wrestling, no athletics.
He wrestled a little bit. He never got all that much into it. He throws a little bit of disc golf. Yeah, that's about it.
Wow, this is fascinating. Uh-huh. You were 16 when you had your first kid? That's wild. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And oh my God, I have so many questions. And so you have four kids. Okay. Are you guys tight? I mean, you have a good relationship?
Yeah, it's good. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, obviously he doesn't live here anymore.
Sure. Where does he go to school?
University of Madison.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is amazing. Is this the first time you've ever talked about this publicly?
Yeah.
Why? Why have you kept it under wraps?
It just never came up.
What do you mean? You just casually mentioned before you had three young kids.
Well, yeah, we were talking about the kids course. So I thought that was relevant to the kids course.
Did he ever go to any of your fights?
What?
Did he ever go to any of your fights?
No, I didn't really take any of my kids to any of my fights. I don't know. It was just like my wife and I want to go. I always feel like I want to keep my kids away from fighting. Fighting's a dirty business, man. It is.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know. Okay.
Wow. right?
I know. Trust me. No one knows better than me. Wow. 16 years old. I didn't realize you were a gangster like that, Ben. Yeah. I didn't know you rolled like that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can we get back to the show already? Yes. I mean, I'm sorry that my son interrupted the show, but can we get back to the show?
Sorry. Corey Anderson asked to be released and signed with Bellator like 12 hours later. What do you make of this move?
Well, there had to be something going on behind the scenes, obviously, right? You're not going to ask to be released and have somewhere else to go in 12 hours.
Sure. Are you surprised the UFC released them?
Totally surprised. Yeah.
Coming off a loss.
Like, think about the Errol. UFC has not released almost anybody, you know? And so Corey, let alone a top five guy. He's a top five guy. I know maybe they think he's not a huge draw and maybe they think he's been a little bit hard to deal with. But, I mean, why wouldn't you just keep him, right?
Top four fighter right now, according to the rankings, coming off a knockout loss to Jan, maybe another guy who's been a little bit outspoken, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe they felt, all right, you won out.
They usually ice those guys, Errol. Yeah, yeah. They usually give them tough fights or make them wait a long time or don't promote them, put them on the undercard. You know, there's been a lot of ways historically the UFC has dealt with guys who are hard to deal with. Releasing them is not usually one of them. But the other thing, Ray Borg was also released this week, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe it's one of those things where they feel like they're going to get themselves in trouble by not fulfilling obligations. That was my only thought.
I don't know. I mean, I just think that, look, I'll give credit where credit's due. I think his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, has a great relationship with UFC and he got it done. I think we got to give him credit for that one because I don't know if a lot of other managers can get that done. I think Corey's happy and DC's been glowing about him. DC's been training with him for this.
Yep, I saw that.
Yeah, and he said, like, this guy's way better than we think he is. So my question is, all right, fresh coat of paint, new spot, seems happy. Could he beat Ryan Bader? Is he that good? Or do you think he's a notch below him? Like, I think it's a good – I actually think this is a good move for everyone involved.
Yes.
He wasn't, like, moving the needle for UFC. He wasn't your typical, like, draw headliner. He wants out. He's getting a huge pay raise from what I understand.
Yeah, huge pay raise. Because he was still on that damn tough contract.
Yes. And Bellator's saying, hey, we just got a top four UFC guy. Like, you can't deny that. He had won four in a row. He beat Johnny Walker, beat Glover Teixeira. We've got – clearly 205 is their weakest division. Yes. So we've got a potential guy. I actually feel like everyone wins here.
Everyone wins. I was just talking about this yesterday with my other podcast host who, which you would not like me to mention.
Stop pretending like first of all,
the greatest mind in the business for O'Brien.
Is it a podcast? Is it a podcast when it's just two people talking and no one listens? Like, that's just a phone call.
A lot of people listen. Anyways, okay. So, like, I think MMA promotions need to learn from this a little bit, Errol. Like with my trade with Demetrius Johnson, that was beneficial to both parties. That was great for one championship. It was great for the UFC. And, you know, like a Michael Chandler, another guy I think maybe we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Yep.
Who else is he going to fight in Bellator? He's fought them all. There's no one else that's really that exciting. Now you throw him in the UFC, you throw him in one championship. Now there's some other exciting fights for him. But, you know what, I always feel like when people stick around one promotion and they've generally fought almost everybody, you know, trading them, like, I think I would love it if the MMA promotions did more trades. I thought that was really cool. I think the fans would love it. Like, you know, let me think. Who would be someone really good that you'd love to see in Bellator? You know, like a Dustin Poirier or someone at 170, right? Can they go Colby, right? He's complaining. Get rid of his ass. Can he go beat Douglas Lima and Andre Koreshkov and Michael Page?
How about Colby for Dylan Danis?
Yeah, do that one first.
Wouldn't that be fun? Are you going to fight Dylan Danis? Is this happening?
Dude, I'm literally getting – okay, so first of all, this idiot. I'm under contract with UFC. He's under contract with Bellator. I'm getting a new hip in 22 days from now.
Okay.
I'm literally going under the knife, so I'll be out for a year. And I'm officially retired. I don't really have any plans of coming back. No, I think it's highly unlikely. This jabroni needs to fight someone with a winning record. I mean, he's literally never fought anyone with a winning record. He's like this dope AJ Argazum, or whatever his damn name is, who can't beat anyone who's halfway average.
Ben, can I be honest with you right now?
Yes.
I think you with the bad hip schools Dylan Danis.
Well, probably. I mean, I'm like disabled right now. That's how bad it is. But yes, I think I school him. He's terrible. He's literally never beaten anyone with a winning record. Like,
do you appreciate the shtick though? I interviewed him last week.
Mad.
Yeah. Everyone is texting me, why are you interviewing him? I'm like, the guy, you know, he's just a troll. He is who he is. Why do you let him bother you?
You know, the other thing, Ariel, that I'm sure you could probably speak to this, but in the wrestling community, we have some issues because there's a few people who just, you put them on camera, they're like a flipping magnet. Like, people watch them. So for you, it's like, for whatever reason, Dylan Danis probably does better ratings than almost anyone, even really, really highly ranked people that you would bring on. So yeah, it doesn't hurt to have Dylan on once in a while. Like, you put on people who people want to watch. Like, that is the whole point of media.
Right. So did you see him say that he wanted to fight you?
No, I ignore that dude. I don't listen to that dude. Come on.
Come on.
What's I saw people tweeting me about it, and yeah. I made a tweet like, you know, the dog who just keeps barking and never bites, it gets annoying as shit, and so everyone starts ignoring him.
What's his beef with you, though? Like, where does this stem from?
Listen, it's because I'm popular, and he probably wants to fight me because, you know, I have, like, taunted him a few times, but I think, okay. I don't know what else it is besides that.
Okay, let's go back to Chandler now.
Yes.
Where
does he end up? Tell me, where's gun to your head?
Listen, here's the thing. Chandler gets paid a lot by Bellator, right?
I think so.
I know so. He and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I would suggest he deserves even more, but you know, MMA standards. I think he's reached the end of the road with them. I think he's been there forever. He was the face of the organization. Yes. He was a multiple time champion. He fought the Pipple brothers a gazillion times. Like, how many more fights can you do with these guys? There's no.
I agree.
Fresh to me, and I'm not advocating this because I think the competition is better. Whatever. I just want to see him fight. A Charles Oliveira, a Dustin Poirier, a Paul Felder. You know, I want to see. Mm-hmm. I want to see Michael Chandler. I think it would be a shame if he never dipped his toe in the UFC water once. They tried to talk, from what I understand, beforehand. Yeah. They couldn't come to terms, so he's going to test free agency. I would advocate for him to leave.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the one fight in one championship that I think is interesting would be Eddie Alvarez. They could do the trilogy. Both their first fights were really outstanding. And, you know, Michael's came to a point in his life, and, you know, actually I was texting with him yesterday, but we didn't have this conversation. But if he asked me, we would. Where he's come to the point that he has to decide what he wants to do in life. You know, the UFC, he's going to go try to be the best in the world, right? And he probably could do that. Or he could, you know, he's 34, he could go make some more money and probably have a little longer lifespan with one championship. And, you know, figure out what you want to do and then go there.
So the thing is, with one championship, they'll probably overpay, although they haven't been as active these days. If the UFC can get him what he was making in Bellator or even a little more, and let's be honest, winning his last Bellator fight gives him a lot of leverage and momentum, right? there's like a gazillion options. Okay, fine. The one Eddie fight out there. Great. And then what? Like, what else is there? Right. There's so many interesting fights for him. And I still feel like he could be a player. Right. Do you think that he could he hang? I know this might be an awkward question to ask you, your friends and teammates with him, Missouri, all that stuff. But can he hang with the Khabibs, Gaethjes, Fergusons, Conor McGregor? Can he hang with those guys?
Yeah, I would say I don't know that's a guarantee, but I would say, yeah, there's a strong possibility of that. I mean, so, you know, one thing he's shown, he is hits really hard, right? He puts people down. That always bodes well. Number two, he's a pretty good wrestler. He doesn't get taken down very well or very often. He doesn't get control on the ground. He gets takedowns when he wants. And when you put those things together, yeah, that bodes really well. You know, I would say the one maybe weakness that Michael's shown is he is a little too vulnerable to getting hit sometimes. And, you know, I think he's been working on his defense a lot with his new gym that he's been at. So, yeah, I think he can go with anyone. And I think that'll be really interesting to see.
Okay, ultimately, where do you think he goes? Does he stay? Does he go to UFC? Does he go to UFC. One?
That's
do you think
guess.
So?
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Do you think they are interested in him?
Yeah, I guess it would just come down to, I would bet, with like you're saying, with the pay, that they're going to try to drive a harder bargain. I would think the UFC is, you know, I guess I don't know for sure what their financial standing is, but obviously with the pandemic and them having to cancel shows for 2.5 months, I would think they're a little tighter on the budget strings than they have been historically. So I think they'll probably try to drive a hard bargain. And is he going to maybe sign for a little less than he can get somewhere else?
Is this the type of situation where you put in a call to Dana and say, hey, man, you know, this is a good guy. You should sign him.
I don't
him.
Talk but to Dana.
You wouldn't put in a good word?
I talked to Hunter. I would maybe text Hunter. I'd actually probably just wait till someone wants my opinion. If they want my opinion, I will tell you how
I feel
about it.
Why don't you go out of
your
way? Be a little proactive.
If Michael asked me, say, hey, could you be proactive and could you talk to Chatri or talk to Hunter, I would do that for sure.
Who's the better at this particular sport? Who's better at this particular sport? You at disc golf or Jorge Masvidal at cornhole?
I didn't watch Mick Cornhole.
Come on.
I thought this was just some gimmick where, you know, they want someone with a large Twitter following or something to go do their sport. So it got some interest.
You didn't watch any of it? No clips, no nothing?
Nothing. So, is he actually good at cornhole?
No, he's not. He got what?
Oh, well then, yeah. I was freaking second amateur nationals. Come on, bro.
Have you ever cornholed?
I mean, probably like 10 times.
Sure. You think you could beat him at that?
Most likely. If he's bad.
What's that?
If he's bad at it, I don't see why not.
Is this something you'd be interested in pursuing?
A cornhole career? No.
No, you versus Masvidal, the rematch.
I mean, if someone paid me, I'll effing play cornhole with them. I don't give a damn. Yeah, it's cornhole.
All right. I'm just curious. I was trying to set up a scenario where you get, you know, you get revenge.
What is it? Goes to the American Cornhole League or something? ACL?
I think that would be big business.
You know what game I love, Ariel? I love Frisbee games. So there's, okay. I'm going to give you two games I love. There's Can Jam. You know what Can Jam is? You ever hear that?
No.
It's like a barrel and there's a slot, right? And so you throw it's you and a partner. So you throw it. If you make it in the top, you get some points. If you make it in the slot, you win. If you throw it and then your partner hits it in there, you get a little less points. I can't remember what the exact number is. That game, I would Masvidal, I'd shut him out in that one.
Wow. What is it? Ganji?
Can Jam.
Can Jam. Okay. Yeah, like so you're issuing the challenge right now. Masvidal, Askren 2, and Can Jam.
And then the other ones where they set the beer bottle on top of the steak and you got to hit it with a frisbee. That's a good one too.
What's that called?
I don't
remember
the name.
Okay. Sounds great. Sounds
What's like your favorite great. Game?
I like the fight sports, you know. I kinda,
no, no,
you know.
Like to go do like you oh, don't fight people.
Basketball. I love playing basketball.
You do?
Yeah, that's my thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you know
do
this.
Do you get
but...
to get out anymore? Because I know you love covering. Do you get to play anymore, or are you stuck in your house?
No, I go out and about. Come on, don't believe everything you read in the press. Now, let me ask you about Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington. It looks like this is going to happen in September.
Looks like it. It's awesome.
How do you feel about it? Too late? Good. Is it 2 years too late?
I mean, yeah, it would obviously would have been more ideal, but everyone loves a good feud, right? Those don't age. There's some feud, Daryl. You could say the dudes are 50 years old and you'd still watch them fight because you know they hate each other.
Right.
I mean, so I don't think that ages. They hate each other. Colby's a scumbag. Everyone wants to see Colby get punched in the face. Hopefully Tyron does it really hard.
Do you feel like Tyron is taking this fight too soon? after what happened in late.
No, I think, you know, I mean, my advice to Tyron is that, you know, he's been a little too calculated to just say F it. Like, right. I mean, it's like someone showed up at your house and wanted to fight you, like, and they were threatening your family. You go fight them. You wouldn't think about training or anything else. You just go fight the person. Right. Not think too much about it. Like, I think that's what he is doing. And that's good.
That's interesting. A little too, like, just let the good times roll.
Yes.
Ease absolutely. Up a little bit.
Absolutely.
You think he wins?
Yeah. I mean, they
I love asking if you think your friends
together.
Are going to win.
They've trained together for sure. You know, Tyron used, and that was kind of one of the gripes is Tyron used to pay Colby to be a training partner. You know this, right?
Used to pay Colby. I guess I didn't know it in that respect. Yeah. I mean, I thought they were in the same room.
No, he used to pay Colby to come up to St. Louis to be a training partner. And Colby was just a dirtbag. And so then, you know, it stopped happening. I think Colby stiffed Tyron's boxing coach. You know, he's trying to get extra lessons. This is something that kind of like, I think Masvidal said the same thing. Colby's just not a good person. I mean, that's pretty out there, right? That's not a secret. So, yeah, so it ended. And then, you know, Tyron just has thought very lowly of him ever since.
Okay, let's round third here. Stipe DC, obviously you're going to go with your guy.
Yes.
How does he do it?
I think he goes to, you know, he's obviously winning the early fight. I think if he just mixes, like I said, if he mixes in a few takedowns, he doesn't have to just wrestle him, right? But to go along with the striking, he mixes in a couple of takedowns. I think that's how he gets it done. I think if he gets on top, he's going to pound him when he's on top, right? I mean, Stipe is not great off of his back, and DC is very, very dominant on top. So I think just mixing a few takedowns with the strikes.
Just get the W, right? At this point, like, who cares?
Go out on top. I mean, honestly, there's obviously the John Jones asterisk next to his name, but you can make a very convincing argument if he wins this fight that he's the GOAT.
Sean O'Malley, Chito Vera.
Yeah, that's my that's one of my other sons. Estranged.
Are you an O'Malley beefing?
You know what? You know, it's really funny because he's like a teenage son that's just too cool for his dad.
Wow. I mean, I was going to say you wouldn't know, but I found out 30 minutes ago you would know.
What?
About the experience of having a teenage son for his dad. I mean,
That was Chase Hooper, Harold. I pranked you.
This whole time? Get out of here. Was that really? Yeah. You're joking.
I'm not joking.
That was really Chase Hooper?
Yes.
No way.
Yeah. That was a show.
Bring him back. Are you serious?
I don't know where he went. Yeah, I'm in my basement.
What is he doing at your house?
We wanted to film some funny. We're doing some funny little clips, and we said no social media. Cause I'm gonna prank Ariel on Monday, so we're not gonna do any social media until after I prank Ariel.
That was Chase Hooper?
Yes.
We spent like 10 minutes on that whole bit.
I know. I can't believe you fell for it. He had a UFC shirt on.
I know. I thought you gave it to him. I thought it was like a son. You had a son when you were 16. Are you serious? That was really Chase. I have horrible. You know, I'm going to the eye doctor tomorrow because I think my eyes are totally messed up. That was Chase Hooper?
Yes. Rewind the tape. Rewind the tape.
So wait, you and Chase Hooper actually got together?
Yeah.
Even though he like kind of clapped back at you?
Oh yeah. I mean, dude, I'm taking things seriously.
How did this happen?
Luis Pena wanted to come too, and then he was just so flaky. He was telling me he's got tattoo problems and girl problems, and you know, I was gonna do a whole funky family skit, you know, a few skits, right? The internet likes funny stuff.
So is he training with you?
He's done a couple workouts. He's only here for like two and a half days. Got in on Saturday, he leaves today.
Where's he staying?
At my house.
What?
I got a nice guest suite in the basement. I mean, it's like he's got his own space, bathroom, bedroom, everything.
You cornering Chase Hooper or guiding Chase Hooper to the next? This is a match made in heaven. This is a promotion's dream.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's done like he did a workout with my club, and I coached him one other time. So, I mean, it's like I'm not like, coaching him full time, but it's giving
me
a few workouts.
Is this true, or are you just trying to not? You don't want the story of you having a kid at 16 to get out?
No, I mean, I'm gonna post the picture. I did not have a kid at 16. I was not partaking in those activities yet at 16, Ariel.
I have to admit, I didn't think you were that kind, but I was like, you know, I don't want to cast any aspersions. You got me. Well done. Well done. That was a job well done.
You know what? My daughter, my 7-year-old, is actually really into pranks, and I kind of told her I was going to prank you today, and she was so pumped. So she'll be so excited that I got it.
Okay. Wow. I'm like, I don't even know what to say. I can't believe we spent 10 minutes on that. Great job. Way to stick to the prank there. All right. Well, UFC 252. I don't even know where I was. Oh, wait. Is O'Malley going to win?
O'Malley, my other son. So listen, Errol, it's so funny because
– Is he coming too?
It's so funny because he doesn't want to be a part of it, right? So I act like he's the rebellious teenage son. And it's really funny because I asked him to come film some skits also, and he just wouldn't respond. So it's so funny.
That is amazing. I like that. He is the rebellious teenage son. He's got the tattoos, he's got the hair, all that crazy stuff. What about JDS, Jarzynho Rozenstruik?
You know what? I'm like moderately excited about that. I think they're bringing up, let's talk about Sean O'Malley though. I think they're bringing him up really well. It's something that we don't usually see, right? The UFC bringing people along, I'd say relatively slowly, right? They didn't give him a couple big jumps. He's like, what, 13-0 now or something? Mm-hmm. And they're building a huge following behind him. And I think it's fantastic what they're doing. And I think, you know, if he wins like two more fights, you know, he's kind of already a star a little bit. If he wins like two more fights, I think he's going to be kind of a huge star.
I know you're excited about Merab Dvalishvili.
Yeah. Wait.
Are you not? Yeah. He's like a beast on the ground. He's the guy from Cerro Longo.
Oh, I don't know him really.
Good job. But we got Iwan Kuchilaba, DC's nemesis. I hope he sees him later on this week. I don't know if you know this, but DC and Iwan, they kind of have like a rival.
What is he a fighter or what is he?
Who, Iwan?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
What is he?
What a mess. Yes, he's a fighter. Star? He's fighting Magomed Ankalaev. I want to play a game with you next time where I name you names of people and you tell me if they're an actual UFC fighter or someone that I made up.
Well, I know you cover basketball too, so I figured maybe you were talking about that.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
By the way, I'm doing a radio show this Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Radio Coast to Coast. I haven't asked you yet, but thank you for joining me on the show. We'll talk a little more about that, and perhaps we'll hear more from Mr. Funky Ben next week on the program as well as we discuss what happened Saturday night between Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic and all the other fighters competing this Saturday at UFC 252. Ben, thank you for joining me. Thank you for tagging in. Thank you for filling in. And thank you for getting me there. You and Chase. I still feel like he's around, and I think it's weird that he's not coming back, and it's leading me to believe that this is all.
No, I'm a little
prank is actually that your son.
He must be upstairs because if he was in the other room, he would have heard me. Okay. So my camera guy is here too, so my camera guy got it also on video. Uh-huh. They're probably upstairs or something.
Okay. Well done to both of you. Thanks everyone who listened to the show. Thanks to Ancestry, Modelo, and DraftKings. Thank you very much, DC. Daniel Cormier, good luck to him on Saturday. Can't believe it's actually happening. August 15th, UFC 252. Thanks to TST, Sean, Corporate Jake, everyone who supports the show. We appreciate you all very much. Ben, you're the man. Thanks for filling in. Peace.
See ya.
We're out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.